Still being talked about today, a 35-1 shot winning with thanks to trainer Joel Marr and jockey Kenny Tohill. So we'll do that coming up bottom of the hour. We've got an NIT doubleheader starting at exactly 4:45. That's North Texas. They're going to be tipping off first today. In fact, North Texas will be the game coming up at 4:45, really 5 o'clock. That game will officially tip off. And I'll tell you what, this is going to be fun because North Texas is going to be playing Wisconsin. That is not easy. And then I believe we've got UAB and Utah Valley coming up in the late game tonight from Vegas, Adrian.
That's exactly correct. So we could get an all-conference USA Good NIT, Lord. Which I would love. North Texas was great all season long. And UAB, you know what? I'm not going to say they were great because they had slumps throughout the season, but they have probably, if not the most talented rosters out of Conference USA. And that's talking with a team still alive in the NCAA tournament. They're so talented top to bottom. UAB going to the championship of the NIT, that would be an awesome, awesome sight to see.
North Texas is favored by 1.5. UAB is favored by 4.5 points. So both CUSA teams are your favorites heading into this one. Westwood One's coverage of the NIT semifinals will tip off for us at 4:45. First game starts at 5. Second game starts at 7:30. We'll have them both for you right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. And never in my wildest dreams did I ever think we would have two CUSA teams in the semifinals of the NIT and a CUSA team in the Final Four of the NCAA. And I believe we had a CUSA team win the CBI championship.
That's exactly right, because it's Charlotte, UAB, North Texas, and then, of course, FAU, who are all still alive. I mean, Charlotte winning the CBI. But, Steve, isn't it weird that all those teams right there that I just reeled off, all four of them are headed to the AAC next year? We've seen so many similarities with these this bunch, and now they're all headed out of Conference USA once this year ends.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is weird. But you want to know something? That means somebody else will be in from Conference USA next year into the NCAA tournament. And who knows? It could be other teams from CUSA going to the NIT. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. Lose some, bring in some others.
That's right. I would also caution all the optimism around those programs specifically. Dusty May will be the hottest name in college basketball when it comes to the next coaching cycle if he doesn't take one after this season with FAU. Grant McCaslin could be the next head coach of Texas Tech. UAB's Andy Kennedy. I mean, hey, you could say all you want about an alumni coaching the Blazers over there, but he could be gone in the future. I'm okay with Middle Tennessee, Western Kentucky, Sam Houston State, New Mexico State, UTEP, and then everybody else who's going to be as part of the new Conference USA.
Such a great point, and you're right about that. And, you know, college basketball kind of leads us off today. Rodney Terry was officially hired as the 26th coach in the history of Texas basketball. And as you might imagine, RT had a lot to say. Let's play some of the highlights from earlier this afternoon at the press conference.
Like I always say to my guys every day, it's a great day to be alive, man. It's a great day to be a Longhorn. Oh, God puts you right where you're supposed to be.
So that was the start of it, right? That was the start for Rodney. Then, coming up after that, he was asked a question from a reporter about what's the first thing he wants to do as a head coach.
What's the first thing you're going to do as the head basketball coach of Texas?
Damn, Brock, that's a loaded question, right? You know what? First thing I'm going to do is I really want to sit down with our team. We hadn't had a chance to talk. I mean, I kind of gave you guys a farewell deal that night, you know, and we talked about the season, but I hadn't had a chance to talk to you guys. These last 2 days being back, we hadn't had a chance to really sit down and visit about the year and tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys, you know, the way you stayed the course and worked this season. That's the first thing I like to be able to do and express my gratitude and for what you guys did this season. And from there, I'll start working with some of our returners, you included, coming back next season, right? So that will be the first order of business for myself, along with sitting down and visiting with our staff.
Isn't it nice, by the way, that when the first reporter question is Brock Cunningham asking that question for Rodney Terry, a member of the basketball team? I like that one.
He has such a deep and passionate relationship with all these players. It's genuine. Like, yeah, we've experienced Rodney Terry. I can tell you this is genuine love right here.
I agree with you. We did see that at UTEP. Same thing. We saw the feeling he had for his players. True. And then a little bit more from the press conference today.
This brand right here is incredible. I mean, it's powerful. It made me leave a head coaching job.
That's right.
You know, because of the experience and because of just the elite. It's an elite of the elite to be at the University of Texas. We have elite coaches on this campus. We have elite student athletes on this campus. You know, obviously, we'll start with our recruiting. We always like to start in the state. We want the best players in the state of Texas to come and play for the University of Texas. We feel like we have the best of all worlds. We have incredible academic education that you're going to get while you're here. You're going to get an elite level basketball experience. You're going to live in one of the best cities in the country and continue to grow. And you're going to have an incredible alumni base that you're going to continue to have an opportunity to network with and get to know as well. But we can go anywhere. We start within the state. We can go nationwide. We can go international because of this brand. It's a very, very powerful brand, and there's a lot behind it.
How about that? How about saying he left a head coaching job for this? Talking about he was pointing to his Longhorn. He had the Longhorn pin going on his sport coat today.
Yeah, I was going to say that the one quote that's circling around social media, and maybe it's coming up from Rodney Terry's press conference today, but he did say, quote, "Some of my early teams did not see the real RT. This time my demeanor is going to be totally different."
Interesting. Interesting. What does that mean?
He talked about how the situations at both Fresno State and UTEP were total rebuilds, okay? I don't know if he used UTEP and Fresno State specifically by name, but this was reported by Horn Sports, and the quote was the pullout that I just read.
I mean, I could see that if you think about it, because when he took over UTEP, especially that prior season when Tim Floyd had retired right in the beginning, and then Phil Johnson took over afterwards, that was it was a rough year, and then he completely overloaded the roster. And spent two seasons with those players. So, I mean, you could say that, he left 2 years or 3 years into his rebuild. I could see that, sure. I mean, it is a totally different situation because let's be honest. At Texas, he will have all the money and all the resources he could ever ask for. He couldn't have that at UTEP. There's no even close to even having that at UTEP. If he wants a certain assistant coach, he'll get him. All right. If he wants a certain player with the resources he needs, he'll get it. But he wasn't able to have that at UTEP. Nobody would be able to have that at UTEP.
And with Fresno State, the same thing. I mean, he takes over a program back in 2012 that had been mediocre for a long time under their previous coach before Terry got there. That was Steve Cleveland, who never got them more than, you know, maybe 15, 17 wins in a single season. I think 1 year they had over 20, but it was his first year there. Nonetheless, Rodney Terry steps into a situation at Fresno State and UTEP where he's asked to turn programs around. Here at Texas, Shaka Smart wasn't exactly in the toilet with Texas. They were a first-round exit out of the NCAA tournament, but they were still getting great talent. They were still a nationwide brand as far as where they were in college basketball, so it was not a rebuild whatsoever. And with Chris Beard stepping in year one with NIL money and the transfer portal the way it is, there's no rebuild. Mm-hmm. The rebuild is the offseason when you build the team up from the ground up, from literally zero players to whatever you end up with.
That's very true. Very, very true. So, you know, listen, I want to see Rodney do well. I really do. He had an amazing run this year. I don't think this is going to be that once-in-a-lifetime type of run that he never lives up to. I think that, I'm not saying he's going to be in the Elite Eight every year, but I definitely think he'll have Texas as a powerhouse. There's no reason why he can't do what Rick Barnes did. And Rick Barnes was never a guy that led Texas to the Final Four every year, but he had good teams every season. They were a They were a force. They were a threat. And you want to know something? I definitely think that Rodney Terry can do what Rick Barnes was able to do all those years. Absolutely.
And I also think the one thing that Rodney Terry offers and brings to the table that not a lot of others do is he has deep connections in the NBA. Like, he can promise these players a path to the pros, almost like, not to the level, but almost like the level of John Calipari, the way that he promises his Kentucky recruits, his one-and-done freshmen, hey, I'll develop you, I'll get you ready. And then after a year, you're heading over to the NBA. Take his number one prospect, the number one prospect out of the upcoming class here in high school, who's signed to Texas, Ron Holland out of Duncanville. Yep. He could be a one and done and head to the NBA as soon as next year.
That's true.
It's exciting to see Terry in this position where he can actually now catapult players into the NBA with the resources that he's always had.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. Hey, by the way, speaking of coaches, Joe Golding's going to join us Thursday on the show. So we're excited about having him in studio to offer up his thoughts on the Final Four and possibly the NIT Championship, which could be a CUSA battle. It could be UAB against North Texas. And who better to analyze that for us than a guy that coached against both of those teams this year?
Yeah, not to mention all the offseason stuff in between, right? Which I'm sure we'll hit on. But yeah,
you think?
Exactly. But I also want to get the trip review from Coach Golding after watching Sule Boom and Rodney Terry over the weekend in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that is also going to be pretty interesting when you start to really think about what that was like for him. So, like I said, that's going to be fun. That's coming up on the show Thursday. Tomorrow will be a big one as well. We've got guests galore, our usual baseball fantasy talk with Jay Jaffe and Jeff Erickson will start us off tomorrow. But we're not done. In fact, we're just getting going with all of our guests lineup and who we have for us. So, you know, I think that's going to be part of the fun, too, is figuring every single guest out. We're going to have UTEP football join us on the show this week. We're going to have the A-team join us on the show this week. I mentioned Joe Golding as well. Just a lot of good guests coming up on the program.
That's exactly right. We've got tomorrow, Steve, 6 o'clock in studio, Andrew Mayer and Elijah Klein. Excited about those guys returning starters to the offensive line for UTEP. Those two could probably break down spring practices and give us a good update as to the talent that's brought up here to UTEP. And, hey, I've got a lot of questions on that offensive line. I think they can deliver some great answers being the two, you know, veteran guys on that offensive line.
Also, I agree with you. We're going to have so much fun with them. And later this week, we're going to be doing something we never get to do. We're going to give you a chance to win stuff. Cool stuff. Like, I don't even know how to describe this, Adrian, but it's a joystick that hooks up to your cell phone and gives you a chance where you can start playing games from your phone if it's an iOS and an Apple that, you know, again, I don't think this is for Android users, but it's for Apple users and a whole new experience with the F1 racing that we're going to be doing on the show later this week.
F1, one of the most popular sports out there right now, fastest growing sport. Everybody loves Drive to Survive. And we love the stuff that goes on like the mobile devices like this, the joystick that will be included with this. Listeners will not want to miss. Sal Montes is going to want one of these, Steve.
Sure he is.
He is a huge gamer on iOS devices. And same with UTEP Zay. Those two are your app, like they are your phone game kind of guys.
I like that. That's cool. All right. So we're going to give you a chance to win those as well. That'll be coming up later in the week. So, we only have 30 minutes left to go. We do have Track Talk coming up bottom of the hour after SportsCenter. A lot more in store for you. So let's get our first and our only traffic update this afternoon. Charlie One going to kick us off before the NIT takes over with this report.
Well, Stephen, the El Paso Metroplex, we're not doing too bad, but 1800 North Lee Tribune.
The final Track Talk for the 2022-23 racing season. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Steve Kaplowitz. And as always, joining me is Eric Alwyn. the voice of Sunland Park Racetrack and Casino, as we get ready for the final weekend of live racing. Eric, welcome back. And I'll tell you what, if you follow college basketball, you realize that it's been upset city in the Final Four. We've got teams that nobody expected to be there, and that's a perfect way to start what Wild on Ice did.
It's a great way to intro the show, Cappy. And more than any one sport, Steve, horse racing is inherently geared to producing an upset. Mm-hmm. Do you know where the word upset came from? Do you know its genesis? Came from horse racing. Back in 1919, Cappy, horse races were begun by a string. Mm-hmm. There was no starting gate. Man of War, who many consider the greatest thoroughbred of all times. He was undefeatable, everyone thought. But they put the string on the horses' noses. They put everybody together. Man of War did not get away. He gave him about a 5-6 length start at the beginning of that race. And who beat him? Wait for it. Upset. A horse named Upset. And prior to that, in the lexicon of sports and sports announcing, you and I are so much involved in, that's what coined the word upset when a long shot won a sporting event. I think it's one of the greatest stories ever in horse racing.
I agree.
But horse racing, you also remember, Steve, it's not like it's on a basketball court that's pretty much constant, indoors. Everything's about the same, except home and away. That's different. Horse racing, you've got post positions, different jockeys, different weights, different distances, a whole lot of different venues. What else? Conditions. Why do we have a racing office? We have a racing office, Steve, to make all the races as democratic as possible and to try to make it hard for the favorite to repeat. Now, not in the Sunland Derby, but in handicap races when horses get older. You know, there's a whole medley of races in horse racing, from when horses begin when they're maidens and they go against their own kind, horses that have never won, throughout all the different levels of claiming races, which are money valued. You know, the higher the claiming price, the better the horses, to the allowance, to the derbies, to the stakes. It's so many graduations and gradient levels that I guess, and I should know it better than anybody, that's what also pushes these wild outcomes. And now more than ever, you know, they take away the Lasix, they let them run on Lasix, they take away the Lasix. Oh, I mean, come on. It, you know, and that's federal, you know, these regulations. So, you know, that also makes it tough. But that Sunday, I think I missed. No, I had one winner. Only one. Only one horse was foolproof. Flying Connection. Even for Todd, our greatest trainer to come here, I think maybe 25 years at Sunland. I mean, that was his only winner. Wow. It shows you. And the great Bob Baffert. Great Bob Baffert. Gutted. I mean, he didn't come close. He was already beaten at the top of the, you know, quarter pole in the Derby. And he had another filly, I think, in another race. Well, the Flying Connection race. Sunland Park Oaks. His horse did nothing there. So I don't know. What does it mean? I do know this. It's consonant to everything else I've seen this year. I mean, rough. I mean, hard to pick. Very hard to pick. Impossible to pick. I mean, here's another proof for the course. I'll be Perry Mason today, okay? We had a worldwide audience, you know, national audience. Fox Sports was taking the races, TVG, FanDuel, all the tracks in America were taking us. Nobody had the pick five. Not one winner. No, it was that hard. It was really, really hard. Today, we're going to have a carryover about $20,000 because nobody had the pick five. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to lay people? I mean, pick five always gets hit. I mean, whenever you have millions of dollars bet, because you have so many permutations and combinations and syndicates betting and so forth. But someone had such a bombing barrage of heavy duty long shots, including 35 to one Wild and Ice. There was a 45 to one long shot winner two in that sequence, and others. You know, if I could remember, I would go over it. But
was that Valentino who with a big upset?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. I think City on the Nile was one of the, you know, more understandable long shots. I mean, maybe I could see that happening. And she was 10 to 1. So that was the all pick six, pick five that globally went unhit. Not one person had 5 of 5.
Got it. Amazing. By the way, for Joel Marr and Kenny Tohill, two veterans that have been around forever, you know, let's talk about, I guess, what that upset can mean for them. Joel Marr could possibly run in the Derby. Think about that. He's been, you know, he's done this for so many years. Kenny Tohill comes back this year. What a fitting story for two seasoned vets that have seen it all over the years at Sunland.
I think more than anything that I've said so far on our podcast, that's the thing that matters the most, which you just, you know, explored there. Mm-hmm. I'm the biggest Joel Marr fan that there ever was. Love him. I was his wife's boss, Teresa Briggs, former writer here back in the 90s. And I remember how hard Teresa would pull for Joel's horses. And I said, wow, this is like the early 90s. Wow, what a trainer this guy is. I mean, he would have horses come out in the track looking like $1 million, about 10, 12. You know, he was already an established trainer, but picking up momentum. And then around 2007, Pepper's Pride comes along. One of the most dynamic thoroughbreds I've ever seen. One of the biggest hearts I've ever seen. The way she would always come on and know when to win. In many, many ways, she was like Zenyatta. And she could win going short or long. Joel Marr's the wizard behind that. And there was another horse too. He did win the Oaks, okay? Joel did win the Oaks, which is the female version of our Sunland Derby with Blaine. So probably more than any other local trainer, other than Todd Fincher. And Chip Woolley, of course, with his big Kentucky Derby win. You know, Joel Marr has put Sunland Park on the map big time. And sure, so gratifying to see him win. I was a fan of this horse, you know, Wild on Ice at Zia Park. I mean, he won 2 out of 2, his first two races of his career. Looks super impressive. When a horse gets beat 40 lengths and 30 lengths subsequently, and then you ask him to turn the tables, it's hard to, it's very, very hard to say why. But obviously there was a reason why. You know, and Ken Tohill, the winningest jockey in Sunland history. Oh, man, Steve, that was a masterful ride. Want to know why? He was close to the pace, but he wasn't doing the heavy lifting that race. He was flanked about a length off that those two embattled leaders, the two hyper favorites, who dueled themselves into submission. Not to mention, there was the endless heavy headwinds down the backstretch. It's blowing like crazy today. Wind has a huge factor in horse racing. I think we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. But those two favorites went at it like it was an 870 race. And no, it's a mile and an eighth. It's double that distance. So Tohill, with all of his, you know, massive experience, invaluable experience, stayed close and in an opportunistic way, stole that Sunland Derby.
Unreal.
You know, I mean, sure, it wasn't the most impressive field. I mean, come on. No. But the money was down. The points are there. But if Wild on Ice wants to go, if they could take a shot at it, and he could be one of the greatest Texas spreads maybe of all times.
Wow.
There have been a few great Texas spreads in racing history. You got to go way, way, way back. Assault won the Triple Crown. In 1946, that's how far back you got to go. There's a lot of history of racing and breeding in Texas, but because of paramutual laws and no racetracks, for the longest time, until about the late 80s, early 90s, when racetracks came back in Texas. That's about the only history that there is of it, you know, on the racetrack. But Texas itself, I think, has the most horses of any other state in the union. Is a tremendous breeder of quarter horses. The Sixes Ranch, which is illustrated in that telemovie or teleseries Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest breeding operations in the world. The Sixes Ranch, I think that's what it's called.
Before we wrap up our final track talk of the season, Eric, and it's always been great having you, tell me about Saturday. It's going to be a monster race day for quarter horse fans, isn't it? Five big stakes races.
Yeah, I really like that card, Steve. The first two are basically consolations. They're rich races worth $50,000. I think the last three are the way to go. The West Texas Futurity is race 7 out of 9. Texas has been such a great race for us for so long. It's in its 63rd renewal. I think that's the whole span of Sunland's existence, because we missed a season or so. But Sunland was invented in 1959, and the West Texas Futurity people have been closely associated with us for that long. For many years, it was the great preview to racing at Ruidoso Downs. And I think this year's finale might be one of the best in about 10 years. There's a horse called Let's Leave, who, when they broke, I said out to the public, oh, Let's Leave is in big trouble. Didn't break right. I take a blink, call a couple of the horses, and then boom, he's rolling, exploding, and gone. So he'd be my pick, okay? Because he's well-bred. He cost $122,000 at the Los Alamitos sale a year ago. He's my favorite cartel, one of my favorite studs, a former quarter horse of the year. Eric Valenzuela, super dangerous, one of the newcomers in quarter horse world. He trades that one. And the other horse is Think On It. And what makes this so interesting is that jockey Sergio Becerra rode both of them, and chose Think On It. So you have to say, wow, that's a big deal. And you know why it's a big deal? Because Sergio usually rides first call for Eric Valenzuela. And now he thought so much of Think On It, another devastating trial winner, that he opted for that one. I guess it was okay with Eric Valenzuela. So I like those two quite a bit in that race, both Let's Leave and Think On It. The New Mexican Spring Futurity, worth a ton of money, over $364,000, might be a little more wide open. However, Wes Giles, who every year, impresses us so much, been no change on that front. He continues to come through. And you could have made a lot of money on Wes Giles, which is hard to believe. Everybody knows he's so great. But he won about 17 of 75 races. And on those trial days for the New Mexican Spring and the West Texas Futurity, I think he won about 5 or 6 races. He's got a horse called Miss High Tide that I like. And Adrian A. Ramos has been installed the mount for that race. The ninth is the $100,000 New Mexico Horse Breeders Association Quarter Horse Stakes. Wes Giles, again, dangerous, on a horse called KJ Daddy's Money. And that horse, of course, is owned by John and Kathy Lee and Reuben Mayers. They're the connections that won the All-American Futurity a couple years back with KJ Desperado. So I'm very enthused about, that card. And then closing days on Sunday, and we've got the $150,000 Sunland Park Handicap. I think Todd's going to be very tough in that one. He's got Sheriff Brown and others. And there's a horse called Zestful who returns to Sunland too. So that'll be the way that we wrap up the season.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it. You wrapped up this season terrific here on Track Talk. Thank you for the time joining us every week. And it's always a pleasure getting a chance to talk some horse racing with you, Eric.
Thank you, Steve.
It's Eric Alwyn, folks, as we wind things up here on Track Talk and Sports Talk and get you ready for the NIT semifinals. It's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 4 with more Sports Talk right here, 600 TSPN El Paso.
Party with us on Sports Talk from 600 ESPN El Paso at the Border City Ale House. Right off Lee Trevino and Visa del Sol.